Now live from Studio 550, it's McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, you know what? We got David Stokes here in studio, just like we have every Monday morning on the Big 550 KTRS. David Stokes, a friend of the show. He is a policy analyst with the Show Me Institute. And David Stokes, good morning.
Good morning, McGraw.
Let's talk about a topic you love to talk about, and that is our TIFFs. And this Central West End TIFF where the Whole Foods is going in, there's a Mercedes-Benz dealership, and then there's going to be some type of residential above it. And it's right across the street from the subway right there, right?
That I eat lunch at many, many, many days. Yes.
Right, right, right. It's a nice little strip there. It's that building sort of came about. There was a parking lot there, and now there was a building there. That building's been raised. Now it's a vacant lot right across the street from the subway is the best place. Right there on, what is that, Euclid, I guess?
Right. It's at West Pine and Euclid.
And it's sat vacant now for a number of years, waiting for a developer to come along.
Well, except that the person developing it, the company developing it, is the same company that's owned it for all this period of time.
Aha!
And they raised the building, which, you know, the prior building, they have every right to raise their own property.
Right.
But then they have used the fact that the assessment has been decreasing on the property as one of the reasons why it should be declared blighted so that they can get subsidies. It was like, well, okay, yeah. The assessment's gone down because you raised the building. You tore down the building yourself, and now you're saying, well, the assessment's decreased, so we deserve subsidies. I sometimes feel like I'm, you know, Mugabe in Zoolander, and I'm like, am I on crazy pills here? You're testifying that the assessments have gone down. Yeah, you tore the building down.
Yeah, your actions caused it to go down. Where are we now with this TIFF? This is going through, right?
Well, this TIFF is for the Whole Foods and the apartment complex. And a short distance away off on Hampton is going to be a new Mercedes-Benz dealership.
Okay.
That's also getting a TIFF. And they both passed the St. Louis City TIFF Commission, and they're both heading towards the Board of Aldermen. And I hope the Board of Aldermen gives it a careful once-over. I'm not optimistic about it being rejected there. 2 weeks ago, the board surprised some people by not giving Paul McKee and the Bottle District a sort of a combined TIFF. And then last week, they reversed that vote and passed it. I think there were three no votes.
Right.
So I think that you're going to get a TIFF for a Mercedes-Benz dealership in the city of St. Louis, which just strikes me as insane. And I look forward to the city officials who vote for it never again criticizing another party for supporting tax breaks for the rich.
Right.
Because you're about to give a Mercedes-Benz dealership a tax break.
Valid point. Very, very valid point. But it is nice to think that a Mercedes-Benz dealership is going in the city. That's a sign that says something.
That is wonderful. That's like, people accuse me or the Show Me Institute of being, we're not against growth or development, not in the slightest. We're probably more radically for it than many people or many organizations. But the subsidies where you're taking money from other people around the area to support this Whole Foods, which will now be subsidized to compete against Straub's
right.
And the Schnucks on Lindell there. You don't have a level playing field. And a city alderman, Scott Ogilvy from the 24th Ward, tweeted the other day, you know, at what point when any large business that basically asks for a subsidy gets that subsidy, at what point don't you just stop the game and say, well, let's lower taxes on everybody?
Right.
He's right.
Not to mention the Whole Foods, but the apartment complex there as well. There are a lot of apartment complexes around there. High rise, low rise, you know, duplexes and triplexes and regular homes. And so, you have people who are already doing business in that area that you're putting at a competitive disadvantage because you're not lowering their taxes.
Absolutely, McGraw.
Yeah.
And it gets to the insanity of declaring this lot blighted. I mean, this portion of the West End is one of the nicest, most prosperous, most economically vibrant parts of the state.
Right.
I mean, as I said in testimony, if this is blighted, then let's just throw our arms up and declare every place in the state of Missouri blighted because the process is to declare blighting is a total joke. I mean, this is a wealthy, successful area.
You and I agree on this 3,000%. And I think that the comment you just made, what development is not worthy of special incentives, right? I mean, at what does a development look like that we would say, sorry, you're on your own, please build it yourself?
Well, it really doesn't exist in Missouri. The Centene development in Clayton, which was not a TIF, but had some other subsidies, including eminent domain, and that's what was so controversial about it, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rejected some of their subsidies, said they'd gone too far in that one. Now, that is one of the nicest blocks in the heart of downtown Clayton.
Right.
So one of the richest cities in the richest county in the state.
Right.
So we do know that if you try to blight or use subsidies for the nicest block in the richest city in the richest county in the whole state of Missouri, at that point you might have gone a little bit too far. But short of that, you can pretty much blight and subsidize anything.
All right. It's either yes, that, or if you want to build your own house. See, like, if I want to build an addition onto my house, and I went to City Hall and I said, hey, I'd like a subsidy to just fix the gate and the roof for my house or the parking lot for my house so that I can, you know, they would, you know, tell me to go, you know, hit the road, Jack. But if I want to spend millions of dollars, let me be the first one to throw tax incentives at you.
Absolutely. And if your house is... if you can make an argument that it has some sort of historic value, then getting historic tax credits to redo your house is actually pretty simple in Missouri.
All right, let's move on. The Show Me Institute has a new education study out there?
We do. It was released last week. It was by our new education policy analyst, James Scholes. And it's about teacher salaries and the lockstep system of paying every teacher the same, which results now in the average gym and art teacher in Missouri making more than the average math and science teacher in Missouri. And I think that surprises people because that's not to criticize the teachers of non-core subjects at all. But if it's pretty much widely agreed that we have a shortage of talented math and science teachers preparing the next generation of business leaders and engineers and scientists, and you cannot address that the way the private market should address it, which is to increase the pay for math and science teachers. That's against the rules just about everywhere in Missouri.
How come art teachers and gym teachers make more than math teachers and science teachers?
They make more on average because, according to James's research, they tend to stay longer.
Okay.
And since everybody gets paid the same based on, and it's entirely based on how long you're there.
Longevity.
The many teachers of non-core subjects get in and they stay a long time. And that's great, and they have a lot of value to that. But math and science teachers often come out of college with math and science degrees and have a lot of options. And if you want them to stay and teach good science and great math to students, you should be able to pay them a little more than teachers of other subjects.
So the argument is that maybe the way we pay teachers might need to be changed or might need to be looked at.
It should be changed so that teachers of core subjects where you can pretty much all agree that you have there's a shortage of them, and that's a DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, is saying that there's a shortage of them, not the Show Me Institute. You should be able to address that the way you do in private markets, which is to raise the salary or raise the pay or the benefits for that position. So you will get more qualified math and science teachers, which I think we'd all agree would benefit everybody.
Right, except I don't think any elected politician can run on the fact that we need to pay teachers more money.
Well, I think you'd be surprised. You'd run on you would need to pay math and science teachers more to address a shortage in a critical need area.
Right. Yeah. All right. And where can we see this? Where can we see this?
You can read James's essay at showmeinstitute.org.
Showmeinstitute.org. And tomorrow's election day. What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm probably sleeping in a little bit in the morning because I'll be probably up pretty late tonight working some of the polls, speaking just individually.
As David Stokes,
my
John Q. Public. Right.
I'll probably be out doing some things. I'm putting some signs up tonight, so I'll probably sleep in the morning and then get into work and try to ignore election talk while I do my day job as much as possible.
for political junkies, tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's Super Bowl plus Christmas plus your 21st birthday plus everything that comes every 4 years.
Now, here's what's going to happen tomorrow. Let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Not necessarily who wins, but here's what's going to happen. So everyone's going to want to know what's the story, right? What's the word? So about noon, people are going to start making phone calls to people. What are you hearing? Oh, I'm hearing this. What are you hearing? Oh, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that. And then you'll take that and you'll probably go on the radio and say, oh, this is what I'm hearing. And then you'll hear the same thing. I'll hear the same narrative. You'll call me and be like, what are you hearing? I'm like, well, I'm hearing this. And you'll be like, oh, that's – and we'll all be rumor mongering the same rumor throughout the day. Is that sort of how it happens?
Well, if I recall just out of memory, about 8 years ago, there was a pro-carry poll dump in the middle of the day that went up on Drudge
right.
and sort of lit up the country for a couple hours.
Right.
That the Bush re-election campaign was doomed due to the early numbers. It turned out it was all just made up stuff. I think it turned out it was exit pollers who were all like 21-year-olds. They were doing all their exit polling, interviewing the other 21-year-olds. So they didn't feel like talking to the 80-year-olds. Like, I'm doing exit polling. Shockingly enough, they went up to other members of the opposite sex their own age in an attempt to talk to them.
That actually works from time to time, actually. That's why I got into politics. When it's all said and done, we'll know. Do you think we'll know tomorrow night who's won, who's lost?
I do think we'll know, yeah, but it would not stun me if it was so close in a few states that we had to wait until the morning.
What do you think of a split decision? In other words, the popular vote going one way and the electoral vote going the other way.
Well, I have a sort of a bias. As an elector, I like anything that makes my vote more powerful.
So,
but none. I think it's certainly possible. And what I've read in the polls and the state-by-state breakdowns has said that's absolutely a possibility.
The what's interesting to me is tomorrow in the state of Missouri is that we don't have straight ticket voting. That's been gone. So it's if you pay attention to the polls and if the polls are accurate, there are going to be people who are switching their vote all the way down. They're going to vote for Romney. They're going to vote for McCaskill. They're going to vote for Nixon. And then they're going to vote for Lemke. I mean, it's amazing how they're going to split their vote all the way down the aisle.
I think when you look at the numbers when they come in a couple days after, and you can really get a handle on the local breakdowns, I think it's expected, and it will be very interesting to see a massive amount of ticket splitting tomorrow. And I think that's to the credit of the average Missouri voter. I think they're staying informed. It's a credit to staying informed and making up your own informed mind when you start ticket splitting. And I think it will happen a lot tomorrow. And it's a good step for democracy.
There are going to be a number of ballots when you hand them in tomorrow that's going to have a Romney, McCaskill, Kinder, Koster. I mean, that's just unbelievable when you get right down to it. So,
well, it's the legislature and the governor, and I forget exactly when it was passed, but it's a good thing that straight ticket voting was eliminated, and many Missourians are going to react to that by being a little better informed, and that's healthy for our state and for democracy.
Any updates you're seeing tomorrow? Whether it's the cigarette tax, the special school district tax, the library tax, any of the other myriad of
I just hope they don't all pass. I mean, any one of these tax increases on their own is perfectly defensible and reasonable, but if they all pass, particularly if the library tax and the special school district tax both pass, then, you know, next year, when I'm going to be glad I don't have my old job, which is an assistant at the St. Louis County Council, when the bills would come out and the people would call up and just scream about their tax increases. And half the time they'd be like, well, why did my taxes increase? And you'd be like, well, do you remember the tax increase in your school district in April? Like, oh, yeah, I voted for that. Like, well, yeah, that's why your taxes increased.
Yeah, but I didn't mean my taxes. Well, I meant other people's taxes.
Right.
What a world we live in. I have just enough time to tell you this story since you told your story about the St. Louis County Council. When Paul Harvey died, legendary broadcaster, Paul Harvey was on KTRS for years. When he died, they did a weeks long retrospective on Paul Harvey. And then the next week, we didn't have Paul Harvey because he died. And so we got phone calls. You think I'm joking, but we got phone calls from people wanting to know where Paul Harvey was. And what did you do with Paul Harvey? And we said, well, sir, the man died. And he's like, yeah, I know he died, but where is his broadcast? Sir, the man died. Yeah, no, I know he died, but how come you're not airing his broadcasts anymore? Sir, we don't know what to tell you. The man died. We got phone call after phone call angry at KTRS because we weren't airing Paul Harvey anymore, and the man had died. So there you go. At least they didn't vote for him to die.
Well, it's an argument for more best of broadcasts.
I guess so. David Stokes, how do we get a hold of you?
ShowMeInstitute.org. Our blog is ShowMeDaily.org. You can follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes and like us on Facebook.
Have a safe couple days, and good luck.
You too, McGraw.
All right, 850, Big 550, KTO.